Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, and it is a story. And Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And so the father divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now, his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called to one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And the servant said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' That older brother was angry and refused to go in. And his father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But then this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes. You killed the fatted calf for him.' And the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It is fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" This ends the reading from God's holy word. May God add a blessing to our understanding of it. So for many of you, this is a familiar story. It is one of Jesus's most famous parables, the parable of the prodigal son. So first, let's just deal with what does the word prodigal even mean? Go to the dictionary, good old Merriam-Webster, and you find three definitions. The first two completely describe the son. Characterized by profuse or wasteful expenditure, and the second, recklessly spendthrift. But then there's this third definition, and that's the one that I became most interested in this morning, because I think it actually relates to the father in this story. The third meaning reads, yielding abundantly. The father in this parable demonstrates that, well, he yields abundantly, but not necessarily in the ways that we might assume. And that's the fun thing about parables. Parables aren't factual stories. They aren't historical records. They may be based on facts. This story may have happened. But they're stories that Jesus has made up. They are simple and they are complex. And Jesus created them in order to teach a lesson or to make a point. And so this parable, in very short definition, is a story of two things. It is the story of the human condition. It is the story of greed and desire and dissatisfaction, all which are beautifully symbolized by the prodigal son. But it's also a story of God's condition, understanding and forgiveness, anticipation and love, all which are symbolized by what I'm now going to call the prodigal father. And because today is Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to all of you out there, and because we almost always look at this story from the point of view of the son, I'm going to switch it up a little bit, leave that younger son behind, and look at this story from the father's point of view. And let's explore how Jesus is using the Father to help us understand how God sees us. So when I was a little girl, our grandparents came to Saturday night beans and hot dogs dinners every week. And my three sisters and I were always so excited for their arrival. I think because we love them, but they also brought us the most awesome lollipops. And so we had great anticipation for their arrival. And we had this thing that we did. So we lived in a neighborhood on a road, and the entrance to the neighborhood was up here, and we had a big bay window in our house. And so we would stand there with our noses to the glass, looking up the road for our grandparents to arrive. And we would get very excited when we saw them. But what happened most of the time was this. We'd have our noses pressed to the window. We'd see a car. We'd get all excited. We'd watch the car. And the car would pass us by. And so in unison, four little girls would say, "Where are you going, Nan and Pop?" "Down to the beach," because there was a beach at the end of our road. And then we'd be brokenhearted, and then we'd look back up the road again, and we'd see another car, and we'd repeat the process 15, 20 times, up until that one time when it was Nan and Pup, or Mimi and Bumpa, and they pulled into our driveway, and we were thrilled. Until that moment when they turned in, our disappointment prevailed. But once they were there, our full-on joy took over. This is kind of how I envision in my mind this prodigal father. He's standing in a window, longingly waiting for his younger son to return. And every night that passes by and no one comes over that hill, his heart breaks just a little bit more. So it makes sense to me that on that late afternoon when he sees something in the light, wait, is that his eyes playing tricks on him? No, wait, could it be? Yes, his servants say, it's him. The younger son has come home. And the father, this old man, caught up in his excitement and relief, runs towards the son with open arms, for his son has been lost and now is found. This moment for me is probably one of the most endearing ones that occurs in the Bible, because I understand it as a parent. As a parent, that simple verse, it strikes a chord deep in my soul because I have had 4 children. I have seen those anxious looks of the child who has done something wrong. That look that begs us to love them, that begs us not to yell at them. And we know how hard it is to stay loving and kind in those moments. So enter that example of the prodigal father and the mercy that he shows on his son. So this is a bit of a backward sermon, because instead of looking at what the father does do, I want to start out looking at what the father didn't do, okay? The father sees the son coming. The servants have confirmed that it's him. He doesn't stand still. Let me get my toe out here. Tap his toe and wait. He doesn't march himself with that angry red face up that hill to that son. He doesn't turn his back in disgust on him. Instead, he takes off like a young man, running towards him, arms outstretched, showering him with love and kisses, offering him the best robe, a ring, and the fatted calf. Wow! That is an image of love and forgiveness. That is the image that Jesus wants us to see, the words he wants us to hear, the love he wants us to feel. Why? Because that prodigal father is God, and we are that wayward son. And when it comes to us, God's children, God is always there, waiting for us, watching for us, ready to shower us with love and joy and give us a big welcome home. Always eager for us to seek out God's presence and be fully there in that same space as God, absorbing all the love and grace that is there for us. And sure, it may take us a couple of times of driving down the road and not stopping at the house. And it may take a few times of God saying, and I wrote this accidentally, but now I'm going to have to sing it because you'll know it. Which way you going, Billy? Remember that song? To wherever Billy is headed, that's not towards God. But boy, oh boy, when we do arrive and when we turn into that driveway, God is there at that window watching for us and then coming to greet us with arms open wide and kisses and love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. So that's really the first lesson from the prodigal father. God is always waiting to welcome us. Now, secondly, in the story, Jesus gives the young son the opportunity to express remorse and to ask for forgiveness. And the father hears those words, but then that's the end of it. The prodigal father doesn't sit him down and go over the decisions, pointing out all the errors of your ways. He doesn't blame the son. Instead, he offers an extravagant welcome and brings him back, not as a servant, as the son proposed, but with the gifts of the robe and the ring and the shoes and the calf, back as his son, back as an heir, and not a servant. That's the way God is with us. So many conversations in this church, men's and women's groups, and just general conversations, kind of with this disbelief in the voice of, are we really forgiven? Are we really forgiven for those things that we've said and done that we aren't proud of? Are we really forgiven for the ways we hurt others? for the way we turned away from someone in need, for our selfish acts, for lies we may have told? Yes, that's the gift of the cross. And before the cross, that is the message from the prodigal father that Jesus gave to us. The prodigal father never lets the son beg to be forgiven. He doesn't sit him down and say, seriously, what were you thinking? How could you do that to your mother and me? What kind of idiotic choices are you making in your life? And he doesn't take him back as anything but his son and his heir. Jesus wants us to know that's how God treats us. When we have made mistakes, when we have made bad choices, when we have hurt others intentionally or unintentionally, if we talk to God about them, if we are truly sorry, if we understand and accept the impact of those decisions and come to God truly repentant, then yes, the best robe is for you. The ring is for you. The shoes are for you. The fatted calf is for you. The extravagant welcome, that celebration, is for you. And that's our second lesson from the prodigal father. When the heart has changed, the love and forgiveness is there. Period. End of story. And on with the celebration. Our third lesson from the prodigal father really comes from the older son. That older son, that good boy, that one who has remained there with him through thick and thin. And according to Jewish law, and this is a really important thing to know, the older son was entitled to 2/3 of his father's estate when he died. And all the younger sons would split the remaining third. Now, if you do the math, in this case, the younger son's already taken his third. And now the father has welcomed him back into the fold, so he's now entitled to another third. And that, boy, oh boy, if you've ever had to go through the process of a will, you understand, that made that older son so angry. He won't even go in and join the party. He stands his ground outside the celebration and makes his father come to him. You almost see him stamping his foot and shaking his clenched fists in rage. He wants his father to acknowledge him. He's been the good son. He's done the good works. He wants his father to acknowledge that, to celebrate that. And seriously, what's going on here? The father didn't even kill a goat for him, much less the fatted calf. His father never gave him a fancy robe, never threw him a big party. He's worked tirelessly day in and day out. Why then is dad suddenly shining the spotlight on this one who has done less than him? Not only that, he shamed the family. He's embarrassed himself. He's embarrassed them all. Where's the credit for the older son's loyalty? Where's his credit for his dependability? Where's his recognition? And Jesus answers this really interestingly. He says, the older brother had nothing to complain about. He had exactly what it was he was supposed to have. He had the honor of working beside his father until his death, when the 2/3 inheritance would be his. So why then is he suddenly unhappy? Simply because someone else received good fortune too. Since when did someone else's success diminish his own? Since when did someone else receiving a promotion make someone feel less worthy in their job at which just the day before they were content in? And so the prodigal father settles the son's anger with these simple but poignant words. Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. That is the strongest, gentlest smackdown I think I've ever heard. But guess what? That's what God's saying to us. And so this is the next lesson from the prodigal father. God smiles on all of us equally. Those who get it and are good and faithful followers, we reap the benefits of God's love every day. Grace, mercy, forgiveness, love. Those are all the gifts that God gives to us unconditionally, without boundary, and equally, second after second. Because my success does not diminish yours, and your success does not diminish mine. My lifelong faithfulness does not diminish your newfound faith. And guess what? Your newfound faith, not only does it not diminish my lifelong faith, it builds up my lifelong faith. And my pathway to heaven doesn't depend on your behavior, nor yours of mine. You are you, created and loved by God just as you are. And I am me, created and loved by God just as I am. And so our last lesson from the prodigal father has to do with what Jesus does not have the father say and do. Jesus does not have the father apologize to the son. He does not have him say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have been such a tough dad. I shouldn't have held you accountable all that time. I shouldn't have let you make your own decisions. I shouldn't have held you to those rules that clearly were too hard for you to deal with and that made you leave me. He doesn't say that. And by not saying that, Jesus says, the truth is the truth. God's law is God's law. And it wasn't the rules that caused the issue, it was the choices that caused the issue. So in this story, God didn't change the Ten Commandments. He didn't change the rules. God didn't become a more permissive parent because the son was hurting. Jesus tells us the truth will set us free and that our job is to live by the truth minute after minute. And because of Jesus' death on the cross, because God sacrificed God's self for us, we know that God understands human nature. We know that God understands that we make mistakes. God understands that we lose focus. We fall for tricks and lies. We disillusion ourselves. We make up stories of things that we think could have, should have, might have happened. Humans, God understands, oftentimes wants the easy way out, the fun way, the quick fix. And so that's why God's love is restorative. God's love is revitalizing. God's love is curative. It's uplifting. It soothes our soul. And Jesus says to us, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. because of Jesus' sacrifice. When we run back towards God, all God sees is our best self, and God rejoices. And if we are running towards God, you better believe it, that God is also running towards us, arms wide open, ready to kill the fatted calf, to give you the ring, to shower you with kisses. Because Jesus tells us that is the gift of the prodigal father. That is God's gift to each one of us on this Father's Day. Amen.